Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 3, that's on page 615, and then Revelation chapter 5, verses 1 through 14, and that's on page 1030 of your pew Bibles. Beginning now with Isaiah chapter 55. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me, hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Revelation chapter 5, at the back of your Bibles, the final book. Revelation chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. Then I saw, in the right hand of him who is seated on the throne, a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. And I began to weep loudly, because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. One of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, and so he can open the scroll and its seven seals. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent throughout the earth. And he went back and took the scroll in his right hand of him who is seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain. And by your blood you ransomed the people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on earth.' Then I look and I heard on the throne and living creatures of the elders of the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, singing with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.' And I heard every creature in heaven and earth and under the earth and the sea and all that is in them saying, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever.' And all four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the elders fell down and worshiped. And all God's people said, 'Amen.'" Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and we lift up your name and your glory, for you are good and your love endures forever. Father, your selfless, self-giving love that sent your Son into the world, for God so loved the world, that you sent Christ to pay the ransom for our sin, for our rebellion against God's goodness and his holiness, to take brokenness upon yourself. And Father, we give you glory in the hope that we have in the Christ child in the manger, who grew with God in favor with God and men, and lived in perfect righteousness, loved the Lord with all his heart and soul and mind, and loved his neighbor as himself. But as a good shepherd, he laid down his life for the sheep. He took our sin and gave us his righteousness that is received by faith, that all who stand before God no longer are seen in our sinfulness and rebellion, but are seen wrapped and clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. Father, we thank you and we praise you for the gift of Christ. And we look forward to that day when you will wipe away every tear and pain, and sin and death and dying will be no more. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, we pray. In Christ's name we pray. All God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Christmas is often called the most wonderful time of the year. And I have memory thinking through every Christmas, the many wonderful memories I had. I remember as a little boy staying up late in my footy pajamas watching the CBS special of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Reindeer. They did things differently in Connecticut. I remember Mrs. Toma every year at church, at Faith Baptist Church, leading the children's Christmas cantata, and I always wanted a solo, but the year that I finally got picked for the solo, because I had a very high voice, my voice started to change, and I sang like a frog, and it was humiliating and embarrassing, and I wish she'd never picked me. I remember devouring my Aunt Carol's peanut butter balls, the ugly tinsel on my gramps' Christmas tree, and my parents listening to endless loops of Johnny Mathis Christmas hits, and it would skip at the same spot every time. Dad would say, "Go hit the record player, Chris." I remember Andrew, when he was a little boy, overcome with joy that he got a Wii, only to find out years later that he already knew it was coming, and he was just sort of playing up the drama for Denise and I. I can almost taste Denise's shrimp wontons on Christmas Eve, silly white elephant gifts, and watching White Christmas, and decorating the house with the family. Christmas may be, for many, the most wonderful time of the year, but it's also a dangerous time of the year. Christmas is not dangerous because secular society has removed Christ from Christmas. Christmas is not dangerous because consumerism is poisoning Christmas with greed, though those are very real concerns. Christmas is dangerous because of our boredom with the most thrilling story ever told. The story of how God has redeemed his people from the bondage of their sin and brought them into eternal fellowship with him. Familiarity does breed contempt. And when we look at the manger and we see the decorations, we can become too familiar with the traditions and the pageantry that we have used throughout the year. Sadly, Christmas is saturated with ribbons and wrappings, lights and ornaments, gifts and merriment, that we've become bored with the promise of peace to those who believe that the children so beautifully sang for us today. If you're not already there, flip back to Isaiah chapter 55. We're going to start the first half of our time in Isaiah 55, and then we're going to go back to Revelation. Isaiah 55 starts out with, "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters." The promise of Christmas is the invitation to find satisfaction in Christ alone. It was Blaise Pascal, the great French mathematician and philosopher, who is a devout Christian, that said, "There is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every man which cannot be filled by any created thing. No matter how much you have put on your Christmas list or traditions and things that you do, it cannot satisfy that hunger, that vacuum that God has. But only by God the Creator made known through Jesus Christ. Mankind is created with a hunger and thirst for its Creator that cannot be satisfied by the things of this world, though we try over and over again. The newest iPhone, the latest car, the newest job promotion, a bigger and better house, a skinnier waistline, whatever it may be. The brokenness of sin that we chase after functional saviors and counterfeit God, because we think if we have a little bit more, if we just had this or had this much money, we could be satisfied. But as Rockefeller said, how much money is enough? He said, just a little bit more. Often we think materialism will satisfy us. If I have certain level of wealth or financial freedom or nice possessions, I'll be satisfied then. But it shows over and over again, we're not satisfied. We see often the celebrities taking their lives who have everything, wealth and fame and beauty and money and success, everything that they've always dreamed of, and they tell us over and over again, it's not enough, it doesn't satisfy us. We think comfort. Well, I don't want materialism, I want comfort. If I have a certain pleasurable experience, a quality of life, a type of security that around me, I'll be satisfied. But it doesn't satisfy us. If my family, if my children excel in the classroom, on the sports field, or the concert hall, I'll be satisfied then. Yet we are reminded over and over again, even good gifts that our Father has given us cannot satisfy us. That's why in this world of, in this time of materialism and sentimentality and traditions and tinsel and lace, the promise of Christmas is good news of great joy. Christmas may be filled with consumerism and poisoned by secularism, but the promise of the gospel that we deliberately remember at Advent is a reminder of God's promise of peace for those who are those who believe. As Isaiah tells us, a peace that is not earned by wealth or work, a peace that is freely given and fully satisfying. It's the promise of shalom, or the Hebrew word for peace, or the wholeness that God brings by His grace that restores what sin has broken, what sin has divided, what sin has confused. In a world that's not the way it's supposed to be, the promise of the gospel is God's peace, God's shalom, restores what is broken. Isaiah 59, a few chapters later, after our reading this morning, said this, "Behold, reminding these people who are living in a broken world, the Lord's hand is not shortened that He cannot save, or His ear dull that He cannot hear." He's listening. What's the problem is that your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He does not hear. The reason that peace eludes us in our human heart and is absent from our broken world is because sin has made a separation from our God. It has ostracized us from the presence of a holy God, a source that is of all that is beautiful, good, and true. And it results in the death and the disintegration of all creation. This is why Isaiah 55 that the children sang that is so sweet. It's not sweet because the kids are cute and they do a good job singing, though they are cute and they did a fabulous job. They're singing truth that reminds us from the voice of children, "O come all ye unfaithful, weak and unstable, come, you're not alone." In a world that probably our greatest epidemic is loneliness. And when we have been most connected by our technology, we are further apart than we've ever had. The gospel says you're not alone. "Oh, come, barren and waiting, weary of praying, come. God has done something to answer the brokenness. Oh, come, bitter and broken, come with fears unspoken, come, taste, drink of His perfect love. Oh, come, guilty and hiding ones, there is no need to run. See what your God has done." God has an answer to sin's brokenness, to our separation from God, from the condemnation that hangs over our head. He can quench the thirst of our hearts and satisfy our hungry hearts. His promise is peace, wholeness, restoration with your God for all who believe. For those who have been separated by God, all of us have fallen short of the glory of God and been separated. For individuals, families, and nations that are divided by bitterness and hostility, that roots of sin divide. For those overwhelmed with guilt and shame that they cannot shake and that they desperately hide. For the cosmos, our world, our environment, which groans under the weight and the burden of sin. The promise of Christmas, the promise of Advent, is that sin does not have the final word. We don't have to pretend sin doesn't exist because we know sin is very real and it's sinister and it's bitter and it hurts. But Christ is born. Christ is greater. And we can see through Scripture what God has done to answer that. God has made a promise to come and save us from our sin. Notice verse 3 in Isaiah 55. Listen. Incline your ear. Come to me. Come to me. Let go of what you're holding on to. Your functional saviors and your counterfeit gods. The things that you think will satisfy you. The water bottles with holes that are draining. Come to me as the source of life. Hear that your soul may what? Live. And I will make with you an everlasting covenant, a promise. My steadfast, sure love for David. See, Christmas is dangerous because it offers an endless buffet of distractions that keep us from responding to the promise of life. We must not allow good things like endless Christmas festivities that we're all going to rush out and do, the spending time with loved ones, acts of charity to the less fortunate, finding the perfect gift for a loved one. We can't let those good things, those gifts, prevent us from hearing and responding to the promise of the Christ child, that our soul may live. Jesus speaking to those who are thirsty, those who feel the brokenness, it says, the thief, the serpent, which is a picture of sin, comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus says, listen to me, come to me. I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. And later on, he clarifies and he gives a better understanding. And this is eternal life, that you know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you sent. The promise of Christmas is invitation to find peace in the life of Christ. Eternal life that came to earth in a humble manger in the city of David. That's why the chorus that the children sang so beautifully is such good news. Christ is born. This promise of peace given in Isaiah 55 is beginning to be fulfilled in that manger some 2,000 years ago. The promise of God's peace has come to redeem hungry and thirsty souls who are held in the ruthless grip of sin's bondage in the little town of Bethlehem, David's city. Luke chapter 8, verse 10. I'll read it for you. Just listen. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." We are not our Savior. The promised one who will sit on the throne of David is our Savior. Christ, the anointed one, the Lord himself. And this will be a sign for you. Where will you find the Savior? You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he has been pleased." Shalom, brought by a Savior. The child born in David's city of Bethlehem was the realization of God's everlasting covenant given to David through the prophet Isaiah, a promise of peace to those who believe. See, through his birth, though his birth was the fulfillment of a long-awaited promise, it was not the end of the story, it was only the beginning. For the Christ child came to fulfill God's promise of peace. Turn with me to the back of your Bibles, the last book. If you get to the gloss or the concordance, you've gone too far. Revelation chapter 5, we read it earlier. It's on page 1030 if you're following along in a pew Bible. We are given a glimpse in the throne room of heaven where John the Revelator is gripped with great anxiety and great fear. Why? because he thinks God's plan of redemption, this promise of peace that will to unfold in creation, cannot be done, cannot be accomplished because it's sealed up. That his promise of peace, the defeat of evil, of sin, and of death, which is symbolized in the scroll with seven seals, which are completeness, wholeness, it remains unopened and unrealized. And there's great anxiety because he knows the bitterness of sin, the brokenness of the world, and he's saying nobody can open this. That God can't fix it. Nobody is worthy because everyone is trapped under the sin. The scroll must be opened. But no one is worthy. And he weeps. But notice verse 5. We look back at the Christ child in the manger this Advent season. But we also look forward to the Christ child opening the scrolls. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. This is good news of great joy. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, from the city of Bethlehem, David's city, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." All hope is not lost. Hope is found. Why? Because the Lion of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered. God's promise of peace can be unfurled throughout his creation. All heaven burst into a celestial choir of praise unto the Lamb. And notice in verse 9, and they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and open it sealed." Notice his credentials, his qualifications that are presented for his authority to unfurl the redemption of God and to accomplish this promise of peace for those who believe. For you were born. No. For you were slain. The song of heaven is a song that magnifies Christ crucified, risen, and coming again to bring peace. And by your blood, it continues, you ransom a people from every tribe and language and people and nation. The heaven, new heavens and new earth will be glorious because of this tapestry of languages and ethnicities all coming together to make much of the crucified, risen, ascended, and return Savior. And you have made these people who once felt the bitterness of sin, you will make them a kingdom and priests to the God, and they shall reign on the earth. No one was worthy to unfold God's redemption promise of peace. Let me start that over again. The one who was worthy to unfold God's promise of peace was a lamb, or is a lamb. Not a mighty war horse, not a mythical centaur, not a tide of elephants. A lamb that was slain. The promise of Christmas is the promise of peace through the blood of the lamb that redeemed his people from every tribe and tongue and nation. For the child born to Mary was the one who had accomplished his God purpose of peace. For the lamb was slain to ransom the people of God. Don't allow the familiarity of Christ to this Christmas to distract you from the reality of God's promise of peace. For the holy infant, so tender and mild, who slept in heavenly peace, would one day be smitten, stricken, and afflicted for our peace. Isaiah, later on, or earlier, before the promise, how would these promises come true? By the suffering servant. But he, the suffering servant, we know to be Jesus, was wounded for our transgressions rather than us. He was crushed for our iniquities rather than us. Upon him was the chastisement, what? That brought us peace, that brought us shalom. With his stripes, we are healed. Or as the children put it, he's the lamb who was given, slain for our pardon. His promise is peace for those who believe. Ocean Park, the story of Christmas is a long-awaited promise of peace unfolding in an ordinary manger to an ordinary woman outside an ordinary home in Bethlehem. It was there God's extraordinary promise of peace began to unfold. It's the promise we celebrate this Advent season. Peace has come with the birth of Christ. Sin death has been paid in the death of Christ. Eternal life is now freely offered to those who believe. So as the children say, the call of the gospel to respond, come, though you have nothing, though you are not worthy, come, he is worthy. He was slain. He gave his life. Come, see what your God has done. For those of you who may not follow Jesus, you're familiar with Jesus with maybe from your past, from your childhood, from your studies, but the peace of God is offered to you at no cost. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to deserve it. You don't have to have potential. You don't have to have credentials. You don't have to have a lineage. You just need to trust the promises of God. The debt of your sin has been fully paid in full by the Lamb, Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, repent and believe. Repent means to turn away from the emptiness of the sin and your own propensity to try to earn and improve yourself before God. To turn away from that, but not just in shame because you got your hands caught in the cookie jar, but to hate that sin and to turn to Jesus and believe. We repent and we believe. We trust the promises of God that when Jesus died on the cross, he took your place. He took your sin that you deserved. And then now when you stand before the throne of God, you can say, not, I did a lot of good things, or I gave to charity, or I was a pretty good guy, or I was a pretty good gal. No, all you need to say is, I belong to Jesus. And you will know that will quench the thirst of your soul and satisfy the hunger of your heart. Come see what God has done. And believer, the peace of God is offered to you at no cost. The debt of your sin has been paid in full by the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Rejoice. The condemnation and the shame and the guilt of your sin has been wiped away and washed away. Remind yourself every day. Repent of trying to earn, make up what God has done. But rejoice that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And remember every day. Because every day we wake up and we default into self-righteousness. Remember that Jesus is coming again. And he's to bring all his people into eternal kingdom where they will drink deeply of his grace and eat at his table with fellowship with God and his people and go and tell like the shepherds that day the news that they received from heaven, that news that you have received by looking over the shoulder of John and hearing this celestial choir in Revelation chapter 5, what God has done in Christ. Ocean Park, go home today and enjoy the goodness of Christmas without any guilt. Open your presents. Enjoy the lights and the paper and the ribbon and decoration and family and food and drink and sweets. Remember, though, that you can enjoy all these things during the most wonderful time of the year because, as the children reminded us, Jesus is the Lamb who is given, slain for our pardon. His promise is peace for those who believe. And the promise of Jesus, as we again are reminded, come, everyone who thirsts, come to the water. He who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and drink, wine and milk without money and without price. And as Crosby read to us today, come to me, Jesus says, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And all God's people said, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of Christ. For he is worthy, and we are not. He is the water of life, and he is the bread that comes down from heaven that satisfies our souls. And we praise you and thank you for the gift of Jesus. We repent of so many times when we have been so familiar with the story of Christmas that we have forgot the thrilling story and this promise of peace that was accomplished in Christ. We thank you that Jesus is worthy. And though we are not, he has clothed us in his righteousness. He's cherished us as children. And we are delight in the eyes of our Father because of Jesus Christ. In the name above all names we pray. Amen.